I guess many of you are familiar with the song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Rudder." It's actually a song based on a sequence of events that began with a cartoon that was put in a New York, I think, magazine in 1941. It showed the picture of an older boy carrying a younger boy. And then there's a question asked, "Isn't he heavy?" And the young boy responds, or the older boy responds, "He ain't heavy, mister. He's my brother." Well, when this first appeared, there was this Catholic priest who was in charge of an orphanage for boys in America called Boys Town. And he sought permission to use that caption as the motto for the university. And the reason he did so was because of some pictures that he knew of that had been taken in the 1920s at the orphanage. And the pictures were of this little crippled boy who had been carried around by the older boys. And the reason they did it was because they said, "We are family and he's our brother." Now, a knowledge of that story behind the song helps us to understand the lyrics a little bit more, and particularly the following lines. "The road is long, with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where, who knows when. But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He's ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go, his welfare is of my concern. No burden is he to bear. We get there, for I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy, he's my brother." Now, the connection of the lyrics with our text this morning, which is from Galatians 6, verse 2, is twofold. For the words of Galatians 6, verse 2, according to Galatians 6, 1, are addressed to the brethren, or to brothers and sisters. They're aimed at family. Not a natural family, but a spiritual family, made up of people who believe that they are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. A spiritual family, like the one we have here in this fellowship. So the first connection with the song is like the boys in the song, we too are family. And the second connection is that we also are to bear one another's burdens as an expression of love for one another. So the text reads, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, you may have noticed this morning that we've moved away for a moment from the book of James, and we've come to Paul and the book of Galatians. And that is because the sentiment expressed by Paul connects well with what James has been saying. See, James is all about practical Christianity, and you can't get a more practical expression of Christianity than burden bearing. We think about Jesus as Julie has already reminded us. He is the supreme burden bearer of all. And he is our example and he is our guide. So says Paul, when we bear one another's burdens, we actually fulfill the requirement of Jesus, which is the law of love. Consequently, the more we become like Jesus, which is our aim, through our obedience to him, through our knowledge of his ways, the more of a burden bearer we become to others. But also, the more we allow others to actually help us with our burdens too. The final song we're going to sing a little bit later is, "Brother, let me be your servant. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too." That takes a lot of grace, sometimes a lot more in some than in others. you know, this burden bearing becomes one of the special things, I believe, about being part of a spiritual family. I think it's one of the most precious things. The loving of one another and being loved. The caring for and being cared for. The burden bearing with one another binds us together as one family in Christ Jesus. It is an aim that we are constantly striving after here, and we have to constantly strive after, because we do fall flat on our faces sometimes, don't we? And sometimes we forget to burden bear, and sometimes we're not too good at it. But when it becomes part of us, we become the family as God desires us to be the family. When we do that, we actually have the answer to the rather sad remarks that come up in the third verse of that He Ain't Heavy song. Perhaps words that we don't recognise quite as much as we did the first verse. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness, that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love for one another. See, Jesus expects his followers, his Christ ones, to experience the gladness, often, of love for one another. Especially if we bear one another's burdens. Now, I believe that this burden bearing happens a lot within our fellowship. Over the past several months, we've seen burdens increase within our fellowship. We've all noticed that, haven't we? Burdens of health, burdens of grief, burdens of economic hardship, and of loss. And as your pastor, I find great joy about when I hear all these stories, and I hear many stories of how a burden has been lifted, has been shared, has been kind of prayed over by a Christian or by Christians. And it shows love and it shows kindness, and that's fantastic. You know, this word bear means to lift or to carry. And one writer refers to the behaviour of a stork as an example from nature of burden bearing. It seems that the mother stork will sail underneath her young when they first attempt to fly. So if they begin to fall, she can bear them up and support them. Isn't that something for us to think about? Especially for our young people and for the new Christians, to be there, to bear them up. He went on to say that when one stork has been wounded, perhaps by a hunter, then the other storks will gather around the stork and will put their wings under the stork and try to carry the stork, if they can, to a place of safety. And what a picture of burden bearing that is within a Christian community. But sometimes we look at the burden that someone else is bearing and we absolutely feel overwhelmed by it, don't we? Overwhelmed. We want to help, yet we feel unable to do so. We feel under-resourced. And at such times, we must never underestimate the comfort and power of our prayers. I was talking to Helen Vintner the other day about one of the questions in our little Bible study book we have for our home group. And it was a question about, who do you go to in an emergency? Or basically, when your burden is so heavy, who do you turn to? And she said, you know, the first person that came to my mind was Terry Baker. Because I know that if I tell Terry Baker about my burden, the very first thing he will do will be pray for me. Right then and there. And that's right, isn't it? The power of prayer. I was talking to Andrea the other day and she said she had received a phone call from someone who said, what can I do for you? She said, you know, the greatest thing you can do for me is to pray for me and to be there for me. And to let me know you care. That's burden bearing. That's something we can all do. And that is so important. See, burden bearing doesn't equate to solving the problem. Although that may happen. It means being there for someone. But you know, in this passage from Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, there's also in the context of this passage a a very specific type of burden bearing, which is the responsibility of Christians. And it relates to a fellow Christian who is struggling to overcome some sin or weakness in their lives. Paul writes this in chapter 6 and verse 1. My friends or brethren, you are spiritual. So if someone is trapped in sin, you should gently lead that person back to the right path. But watch out and don't be tempted yourself. Our burden bearing should not just be focused on the physical and the emotional. We should also be aware of those who are battling spiritually. Those who are plagued by sins and weaknesses that are drawing them away from Jesus Christ. Those who are waging a war against some addiction or other. And because of that, who are constantly beginning to avoid times of worship with God's people and even times of fellowship. Fellow Christians who need to be loved back into the spiritual family or gently challenged about their Christian walk. The NIV says that we are to gently restore them. And it uses a word which is used in the New Testament for mending nets. Not just mending holes, but actually kind of giving them an overhaul or service. It's used for the setting of a broken bone. Or bringing warring factions together. It's a great privilege, isn't it, when you stop and think about it, that has been given to us by God to be part of the process by which the Lord restores believers back to himself when they have fallen away or transgressed. But the warning that Paul gives is that we do so with gentleness, without harsh condemnation, and avoid thinking of ourselves as better than they are, or beyond the sin that they have fallen into. Burden bearing. It's such a vital part, isn't it, of being church together, isn't it? Of being a spiritual family. In my reading, I came across a following illustration, and I found it really good, really meaningful. It actually relates to a building which is in the outer London suburb of Windsor. It's called the Windsor Guildhall, in fact. It's one that, exactly this time last year, give a week or two, that's where we were. Judy and I were actually at that building. I remember being there and taking a photo of the building, which this isn't my photo, but particularly the house next door, which is the most crooked house I've ever seen in my life. But other than that, this building is the Windsor Guildhall. It was designed by Christopher Wren in 1688. And it was designed with a ground floor that was open to the elements so that it could be used as a public market. And the top part of the building was to be supported by 18 pillars, and you can see all the pillars, that went round the edge of the building. When the town councillors first saw the plan, they protested to Christopher Wren that it wasn't enough. There wasn't enough pillars to safely support the top part of the building. Well, Wren argued. He said, look, I'm the architect. I know that my building will be solid and safe with these 18 pillars that go around the outside. That's all it needs. But I kept on at him until eventually he agreed to add 4 extra pillars in the interior of the building. However, Wren had the final say. For although he put these pillars in, he designed them to be 2 inches shorter than the ceiling. So they in fact held no weight whatsoever. And for centuries the building stood without those pillars doing anything at all. I believe in the last few decades they've actually put wooden bits in now, and you could actually see them on the picture, just to give something for them to do, I guess. Well, the person who was writing about this says this: the book of 1 Peter describes the church as a building and made up of stone. Not made up of stone, but of living stones. We, as Christians, make up the structure of the church. We are church. But God is not like Christopher Wren. Unlike Wren, God has not put any useless columns in his church. There are no useless or unimportant parts in God's building. We each have a part to play, a work to do, a section of the building to support. And when we choose not to do our part, the whole building suffers. If we refuse to bear the weight given to us, the building will not collapse, but another, stronger part of the building will have to carry the burdens we refuse to bear. In other words, our choice to not do our part in God's work is a choice to place a heavier burden on the back of another part of the church. Now that's worth thinking about, isn't it? God has put us here, every one of us, for one another, as well as for the sake of his kingdom. And we are all to be involved in bearing one another's burden. Even when we have our own burdens to bear, and we all have burdens to bear, we can still be there in some way for someone else. So as we come to the end of this message this morning, let me encourage you, just for a moment, to stop and to give thanks for those who have recently helped you to bear a burden. Some to give thanks to God for those who have been alongside you in a burden, for someone who's been there for you. And then commit yourself to thanking them after this service, if they're here or wherever, for doing so. Encourage them. Say, thank you, that really helped me. And I want to encourage you to keep on doing that. But also I want you to think of someone right now that you could move alongside and assist in the burden that you know that they're bearing. Someone whose burden you can help bear. Depending, of course, upon God's strength and wisdom to do so. Think of that person. And then decide right now, right where you are, to pray for them. To pray for them. That's the first thing. And then to let them know in the next day or so that you will be there for them if they need your help, your support, and that you're praying for them. That you are to them a brother or sister in Christ who cares for them.